The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is your moment. Your moment to move forward and make progress. It's time to see where an education can take you. For over 130 years, Strayer University has been at the forefront of change, offering programs that help students like you get ahead and stay ahead so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.
Are you ready? It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
It's time for episode 154 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week I get to chat with folks from another successful comic company called Awesome Comics this time, OSSM Comics. You might hear that a couple of times because I'd like to make sure everybody knows exactly who they are. I get to interview Seek Donnelly and Omar Spahi, creators of several of the books at Awesome Comics, and we're going to run down the list of them as we go through the interview. They're great comics, well done, and I'm really happy I got a chance to chat with them. So I'm sure you'll enjoy what they have to say about what's coming and what's just come out from them. There's a lot to get to, so let's get on with the show. Welcome to the podcast from Awesome Comics, Seek Donnelly and Omar Spahi.
Thank you so much for having us on, first and foremost.
Oh, glad to talk with you guys. Got to see your books recently and really liked them all very much. Thought they were all excellent books. Very different on the take as far as like comics go, because a lot of times today books tend to follow the same patterns, but you guys really veered off in different directions, and I really liked that.
Thank you. We try.
Okay, well, that's good. Why don't I start off talking about the one that struck me as the most unusual, and that was Thaniel, which sounds like it's a little – it's short for from Nathaniel. It's pronounced with a T-H on the beginning. And Omar, you wrote this book, right?
Yes, I did, yeah. It actually does originate from the name Nathaniel. And Nathaniel means warrior of God. And so we took the Greek prefix of Than – and we just kind of cut out the na, and we kind of wanted to keep that warrior of God and mix it with a little bit of death, and that's kind of where you get the name Thaniel from.
Well, great. Now, one of the things about this book that really stood out to me, I'm a big deal diversity in comics. I really get frustrated when you take a person of color and you stick them into an existing uniform and you can't make characters who are their own people. But you've done that on your own. You've created Thaniel, who's his own person, and set up a situation inside of a city and done things. This is the kind of thing I was hoping to find when it comes to diversity in comics.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's always been, you know, a goal of ours. It doesn't really matter to us if the character is black or white. And I feel like a lot of people in comic books are, you know, are white males, and in storytelling in general are all white males. And we thought, you know what, it makes sense, and we've really put an emphasis on it. If you look at our books across the line, we have Enoch from Monomyth, who's also African-American, and we have Daniel, as well as Dom, as well as, you know, we have a bunch of characters that really focus on being diverse, and we wanted to kind of stay away from that typical, you know, archetype of the hero.
Yeah, I really appreciate that, because I've, you know, Ultimate Spider-Man is Miles Morales, who's half Hispanic and half black, and that's great, except for the fact that there's already a Spider-Man. So for me, to see Thaniel, which is basically a very new concept to me, I've never read a concept like this in comics, so to actually see this was really great for me. I really loved it, and the writing was terrific too. I love the fact that there's a big old hanging surprise at the end of the book that, you know, when I got to that, I went, whoa. So I haven't read issue 2. I know it's available. I'm going to be after it very shortly, but I really like the way that you've told the story, you know, Omar.
Yeah, I mean, it gets better after issue 1, and it keeps growing into 4-issue miniseries. Seek did an amazing job of editing the issue so well. He's really taken that story to where it needs to go. So great. I couldn't be more proud of it.
Great. Yeah, as far as issues go, how many issues are there going to be of Thaniel?
It's a 4-issue miniseries right now. We're talking about keeping it going and either doing something else with it, but that's still all kind of speculative at this point. So we're going to taking that whole miniseries of 4 issues and trying to leave it for what it is right now.
Now, the interesting thing to me, too, is the artwork. It's a duotone. You've got black and shades of gray involved, and you've also got reds involved with it, which is kind of an appropriate color group for what's going on in the book.
Yeah, definitely. Red always was – with the color. When it came to colors, it was always important to kind of go with red, kind of showing the passion and the energy of the scene, so it was always important to have that. And the theme of the book was always to have that the world isn't just black and white, it's actually different shades of gray, so it was important to have the black, the white, and the shades of gray, so you really can kind of get the whole concept of the book.
Mm-hmm. I liked, too, in issue 2, and I apologize for my stutter, so your audience doesn't think there's audio issues. But in issue 2, Terry, our artist, he did a flashback scene, and in it he used blue, and I like that he did that to show the way the world was to Thaniel, but before he got his powers, and what it would look like now with the red. And to plug for those looking for these books, Nathaniel and Xenoglyphs just come out and trade paperback tomorrow, the 12th, November 12th.
Okay, if somebody wants to get a hold of those, how do they do that? Do they go? Are they going to be in stores? Do you go to the website? How do you do it?
Yeah, you can get the digital copies on the website, or you could buy the trades at your local comics store. They can order it if they don't have it.
Okay, that's great, because issue 2 is out. Do we know when issue 3 of Thaniel's gonna hit?
All 4 came out already.
Okay, so, and there's the trade coming out? Is that what's coming out tomorrow? Is the trade of all 4?
Yeah, the trade was coming out tomorrow.
Oh, that'll be great. Okay. So I'd like to be able to read the whole story, so that would be kind of cool. So, Thaniel says, so right now, as far as Thaniel stands, that's going to be the wrap-up for the moment on Thaniel?
Yeah, as far as the trade is the final point, it's a complete story, so it has kind of everything involved in that.
Okay. Sounds good. It's a very good book. I enjoyed it very much. I was really interested because of the diversity element involved with it, so I thought that was really cool. Now, there's another book that you guys have out that seems to be coming out through you guys, but you guys may not have that much to do with it, and that's Foster by Brian Buccioletto and Noel, looks like Twaison, is that how you pronounce that?
Yeah, Twaison, I believe. Brian's done an amazing job with that book. That book is a fantastic story about how far you would go to protect the kid that isn't yours. So the whole foster care thing, it plays very well. It's about this guy, Foster, who finds this kid, Ben, who's alone in his apartment. And Ben is, and he vows to protect him until his mom comes back. But little does he know, there's these big, hairy, ape-looking creatures that are called Dwellers, and they're coming after him.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic. It takes place in a city called Vintage City. It's kind of like a 1970s New York, and it's just been, it's so well written. The art is fantastic. I couldn't be more proud to have it under our awesome banner.
Well, that's cool. Now, the first issue is the one that I've seen. Are there more issues of Foster out besides number one?
Yes, the trade paperback actually is out as well.
So oh.
We have all six issues, and the trade is the only way to get the sixth issue, is the only way it was printed.
Okay. Okay. And Brian Buccellato, of course, is well known for doing many different kinds of storytelling. He could do heroes as well as other kinds of characters. So I really liked it. The only thing I saw was the first issue, so I'm definitely going to be after the trade. So very good stuff. It's very dark, and it's very moody, and it's really interesting. It's very human is the word that I keep thinking about when I look at the book.
Yeah. Brian does a great job.
Sorry.
No problem, buddy.
I was just saying, to me, it feels a little like Last of Us with werewolves.
Okay.
It's really, really great storytelling.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I read the first issue once, but really got the juices flowing. I wanted to read more about it. So just great, great stuff.
Awesome.
Now, the next book I was hoping to talk about is the one, Seek, that you've written, and that's it's called Monomyth.
Yes.
And that's a great story. You're taking what looks like a lot of the myths or the legends and blending them into one storyline. Is that what you're accomplishing there?
I think my main goal was to tell a what-if story. When I was a kid, that was mostly the book I could afford to read because the stories didn't continue issue to issue. So I wanted to tell a what if Earth story, and I thought, where do we begin with that? And so I decided, what if Lucifer told Adam and Eve not to eat the apple, and what if Michael fell instead? And what I liked about that is I got to flip the normal tropes, like you say. In speaking in Marvel terms, Michael is a lot like Thor, and Lucifer is a lot like Loki. So I thought it would be cool to have a Loki hero, our archetype, and a Thor archetype villain.
Well, I really like it, and I particularly like the art on it. The art was particularly it was very clear and easy to read and very dynamic. So the combination of your story and the art really made this book a real pleasure to read.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we met the artist, Eric, at Stan Lee's Kamikaze last year, and he had some art on his table, and it just blew us away. And then he designed some of the characters of Lucifer and Michael, and Omar and I just knew we had our guy.
Wow, that's great. Now, the first issue is the one that I've read. I have to ask, where is Monomyth as far as things go? Is the trade available for that as well?
Not yet, but the third issue just came out 2 weeks ago. Okay. So the third issue is the final issue. So the trade will come out in the spring of next year.
Okay, really great. I really liked that book quite a lot. It was a great story to read. I always like, as you say, a what-if kind of a story. What if things weren't exactly as we expected them to be? And so Monomyth is a great book. But the one I really wanted to get to and talk to you about is the one that I enjoyed the most, and that's Xenoglyphs.
Sweet.
Which I liked so much. I just thought that was such a great book. I liked the concept. And maybe what you should do, Omar, is explain what a xenoglyph is to folks.
Sure. Well, a xenoglyph is one of nine different elemental stones. And each elemental stone has its own power, like earth, wind, water, light, darkness, plant, metal. And if you hold that stone, you're able to do anything you want with that element.
Mm-hmm. And the very first issue, and of course, I've read all six issues, in the miniseries, which is now going to move into a different book. I really liked the story about, again, this is something like what Seek is doing. You're playing with different kind of stories that we're familiar with and shifting them around a little bit so that things are a little unusual for us. And that always makes a story fun for me, is to read something like that. Where did the concept of xenoglyphs come from, Omar?
For me, I always wanted to make the story I would want to read as a kid kind of growing up. It's kind of like a love song to everything, you know, Captain Planet, everything, any teenage show you would watch growing up. And it's I wanted to touch on all those bases. And I really enjoyed history growing up, and I always thought it was cool, you know, with alternate histories and things and secrets and these secret conspiracies and stuff like that. So I wanted to be something that incorporated all of that and still had action, adventure, and was something people could really get into.
Mm-hmm. Now, I really like the art, too. Instead of being more like the comic style that Monomyth has, this one has a little more of a painted feel to it. How did you guys choose the artist for this book?
That's a very interesting story. I actually had a different artist attached to that book when we first began. And then I met PJ online on DeviantArt.com, and we hit it off perfectly. He did the concept art for the book, and I just kind of fell in love with it. And now he's done a terrific job. I couldn't be happier with the way PJ's done things. So I just could not be happier.
Mm-hmm. It's a really good, and there's lots of action involved too, and you get to see people, again, children are involved on some levels in this story, which always makes a tale stand out to me. So I like that. Was that to kind of draw in younger readers as well as those of us who are adults reading the comics?
Yeah, it was definitely meant to be good for all ages. It was definitely meant to be a lot more kid-friendly, but it's also meant to also be good for adults too. So it's one of those books that gets you on every level. So it's something for everybody is in that book.
Mm-hmm. Now, what you guys did was you put out a mini-series. It's 6 issues, right, for the first mini-series, which is called Xenoglyphs, right?
Correct.
Okay, and then after that, we moved to a book called Separators.
Yeah.
And the groundwork for that is laid out in Xenoglyphs, which I really liked. It turns out that Stephen, one of the main characters, is a separator. His parents were separators. And why don't you tell people what a separator does?
So a separator is, there's 9 different groups all around the world, and each one is in charge of a stone, and their job is to stay separate from each other, but still make sure these stones don't fall into the wrong hands. Because if there's an ancient prophecy that says if all of the stones come together, then the power will be, you know, almost godlike. And we wanted to make sure that we always wanted to make sure that the stones are stay separated. So that's what each individual of the separators has to do. So Xenoglyphs is kind of a preempt to that. We really kind of get introduced to the characters and the stones. And then in Separators, you really start to meet all the different separators, and it becomes who's holding what stone, what's going on, and it's kind of a fun little race to see who can find out where the stones are.
Mm-hmm. Because my understanding of reading the comic, if I remember correctly, that it happened once before that somebody had gotten all the Xenoglyphs together?
I don't know if it has happened before. I guess that's something that you're going to have to figure out as the issues go on. But it's very possible that it could have been happening.
Okay, because it's somewhere, it felt like that to me. But, you know, we do see some of them in the past or through history where there's been combinations of xenoglyphs that have come together. And it never seems to go well when that happens.
Yeah, you're very perceptive, Wayne. It's going to get very interesting as people try to go after more and more stones, and different people are going after different stones. So it's really going to be kind of a battle royale as to who comes out on top. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to do some things that people don't expect.
Now, we talked a little earlier about diversity and things like that. And you've got 3 characters in Xenoglyphs. You've got Steve, and you've got Dom, and then you've got Jennifer. And they're very different people, you know, not specifically talking about race or any of that kind of, or gender kind of issues, but they're very different people from each other. And I like the way that you set those people up. Was that intentional to make sure that they were unique characters from each other?
Yeah, absolutely. For me, you know, when I was building Steve, I feel like Steve has a lot of pent-up anger and aggression, and he's also very serious. He's very focused. Dom is a little bit more loosey-goosey. Dom's my favorite because he's always fun. He's always going out there and being silly, and, you know, people just love his energy. I personally, he's one of my favorite characters that I get to write. And then Jennifer's this kind of like flirty, kind of, you know, serious, but also kind of sexy kind of energy that's also going on. So it's important that each of the characters kind of have their own voice and kind of have their own archetype as well.
Well, I like them too, but I also like the way that you kind of went through history and explained several things by the xenoglyphs. For example, one of them in there is Kennedy's assassination is explained by the xenoglyphs. And I just thought that was a great way to do it. I love when people do those kinds of things, kind of so we can't understand things, but if we knew something, it would explain everything. And that's what you're doing with the xenoglyphs. You're using them to explain certain things that happened in history, and I like that a lot.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's so much fun for me to write because I get to really use my imagination and figure out what really happened in those situations. Because, you know, we don't know. You know, there's so much in life we don't really know what happened and why they happened and why does the public perceive things the way they do. And I think it's such a fun concept, and it's something that really is missing and really could be true for all we know.
Mm-hmm. So Xenoglyphs right now, this first six issues came out. Is that collected into a trade?
Yes, the trade comes out tomorrow.
Okay, all right. This will air, of course, after that, but that'll be great to do. Are there any extras and stuff in the trades besides from the individual issues?
No, it collects all six individual issues, and it's kind of used as a great jumping-on point for people if they want to get involved in Separators or in Xenoglyphs. They can actually get into Separators right away, or they can pick up Xenoglyphs, but Xenoglyphs is kind of like the prequel, if you will, to Separators.
Okay. Now let's get to Separators, because I like the concept of it. I haven't seen any of the issues of that yet. And we were saying before, Separators has not yet come out?
No, Separators actually comes out next month, if I'm not mistaken.
And then it comes out the week of the Thanksgiving.
Okay.
It comes out, yeah.
So something to look forward to for that. And this is supposed to be an ongoing, as opposed to the others, which several of them have been miniseries. This is an ongoing book, is my understanding.
That's correct. Yeah, we're really proud of Separators, and we really want to make sure Separators kind of keeps going and it keeps kind of building that whole universe around it. So,
is it going to be a monthly book, or is it going to come out occasionally whenever it's ready, or how's that going to work?
It's going to take. It's going to be monthly, and then I think we have a hiatus, and then we're going to come back after a little break. But the hiatus isn't long at all.
It's a one month hiatus.
Okay. Okay, that'll be good. So if you can pick up Separators without having read Xenoglyphs, then, is what I hear you saying, Omar.
Absolutely, yeah. We definitely intended for people to pick it up as a number one issue, and people can really just kind of understand it just from the get-go.
Okay, great. Because I like that. I am so looking forward to that book, because when I got to the end of Xenoglyphs, I was like, that cannot be the end. There has to be more. And so when I found out about Separators was coming, and that I've been looking for it ever since then. So I'm real happy to hear that it's coming out very shortly. So that'll be great stuff. Are there other projects that you guys are working on that we should know about?
We do have some stuff in the pipeline right now. There's a lot of stuff that's tentative, but we can't really discuss a lot of our upcoming projects. We're going to have big announcements coming soon, probably in the next few months.
Okay, that'll be great. Now, as far I have to say to you guys, there's something that threw me a little when I first ran across your company. It's spelled OSSM, and I thought that was like an LOL kind of a setup, and I couldn't figure out what the OSSM stood for. But it turns out that's another word that you're shortening the word awesome down to OSSM. When one of my friends said, "Oh, that's the word awesome," I went, "Oh yeah, I should have realized that."
No, it's actually really funny. We get that a lot. It's definitely a play on awesome. You know, it's great because people are always like, "That's so awesome. It's awesome." And then, like, it just kind of plays into the company. People are always talking about us, even when they're not. And it's really just been a blast. So we thought about a fun way to do it.
It's an easy hashtag tag.
Okay, that's good. That's good to know. So, okay. How long have you guys been working on these things? Because it feels like you guys have been putting these together for a while, and you guys are just starting to see the fruits of your labors.
Yeah, for me, I've been working on it for, I think, close to about 18 months or so, 2 years to 18 months. We've been, working on, you know, different comic series, different ideas, plotting. You know, starting your own comic book publishing company is very difficult. It's very time-consuming. And I've had Seek, who's been an amazing help. I could not do anything that I'm doing without him. He's done an amazing job with Monomyth. And we had a talk with Seek about a year ago, and you know, he approached me with the idea of Monomyth, and I was just blown away by it, and I said, let's make it happen.
Well, based on what I've read so far, you guys are putting out good quality stuff. So I'm anxious to hear what these other projects are when the time comes about that. If people want to follow up on you guys and keep aware of what you're doing, is your website, that it's ossmcomics.com, is that the place that people should go in order to keep up with what you're up to?
Yeah, they should definitely check on ossmcomics.com. And then also, if you want to go ahead and follow us on Twitter, Seek is at Exploding Bullet. And I'm at Xenoglyphs.
Okay, so that's good stuff there.
And like our Facebook too, we'll post updates, including this interview there.
Okay, great. That's great. So there's good ways to keep up with you guys. And I just have to say that I really enjoyed all the books. And, you know, I've read a lot of different company stuff, and not everybody really gets my attention, but you guys really did. And I'm really anxious to read more what you guys have in store for us, and good stories to read.
Thank you.
That means so much. That means a lot to us when, you know, we do everything we do for the fans, and we do things that, you know, we love as creators and we love as comic book fans, because really at our heart, me and Seek are both comic book fans, and we love the industry. We love comics. So that's something we wanted to get out there.
Okay, well, we'll look forward to reading more of your stuff as things move forward and get to read some of the stories come to completion that have already begun. So you guys are doing a great job, and at Awesome Comics, keep it up.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Wayne. It's been a pleasure to be on the show.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
Now at MajorSpoilers.com. And that's it for this episode. Be back next week when I'll have another great interview with another wonderful comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.